Anne, will you come and read to us, please?
Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has a compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with his children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 15, verse 11 onwards. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided up his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called to one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound.' the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and I never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. What's the best story you've ever read? Think about it for a moment. What's the best story you've ever read? This story has been called the greatest short story ever written. But what about the title? Is it really about the prodigal son? The NIV, the version I've got, says the parable of the lost son. Well, which son is it talking about? Is it talking about the prodigal son, or is it talking about the grumpy older son? Well, let's look first at the wayward son. To many, this is the story of the tale of this son. We know it as the story of the prodigal. I always spell that wrong. I always put a C where there should have been a G. But there we go. That's my bad spelling. We've heard it said that the story was about wandering away in sin and discovering the love of God and ultimately salvation. We hear about rebellion, that he went to a far country. Now, it's perfectly illegal for a younger son to inherit before the father's death. But it was an unforgiving and unloving thing to ask, for I am acting as though you're already dead. And that's what he's saying. Father, I'm going to pretend like you're already dead and I'm going to take the money that is mine. Thomas Huxley once said, a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just what he likes. And we have a society today that more and more the emphasis is rights of the individual over responsibilities for the community. Children in schools again and again saying, you can't make me, I know my rights. I can do what I like. The younger son too knew his rights and claimed them for himself. And it's a possible definition of the sin that reflects in our world, that the world says to God, I'm going to act like you're dead and I'm going to go my own way. Us going to God and saying, you've got no place in my life. I'm going to do things my way. I know my rights. This life above our responsibility for the communities in which we live and the responsibility of service to God who created us. The story says that the son went to a far country. Why? Because he'd be away from his father's influence. And again, it's another picture of sin, the desire to move away from God. The problem with the prodigal is that he lived as though there was no father. And our problem is we live as though there is no heavenly father. Jesus is painting a picture of someone who is far from God. But I don't think he's the subject of the story. I don't think it's about the prodigal son. So what is it about? Maybe it's about the father, the forgiving father. To many, this parable should be known as the forgiving father. And many of the commentaries I read said this very thing. It is he who demonstrates the characteristics of our Father in heaven. It is his actions that take the Father heart of God. And while the Son is still far off, the Father sees him. This means that the Father has been watching, waiting, hoping. And the scandal of scandals, the Father runs. Now in the Middle East, if you ran, you'd have to lift up your robe, exposing your legs, which to the Jews was shameful and undignified. But the father chooses to shame so he can receive his son. And there's great principles here. He gives him a robe covering his shame. He gives him a ring, restoring authority. He gives him sandals, reinstating sonship. And there is a feast celebrating redemption. But more importantly, he gave him acceptance. This is the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, by dying on the cross, gives us acceptance from God. God loves you, he has always loved you, and he always will. Some may never have experienced that love because the Bible says that there are many sinful and therefore people who are dead to the love of God. So many of us have been so busy running from God that we've never turned to him and experienced that love. But the Father gives acceptance, and that acceptance was complete. What a wonderful, wonderful image. So many of us have struggled perhaps with our own fathers in that we want to get their approval and we want to get their acceptance. But what this story tells us is that the Father runs to us and he opens his arm and he gives us complete acceptance. But he also gave him self-respect. The son, the father did not treat him as the son deserved. He dressed him and he embraced him. He publicly returned the son to self-esteem. Now, I remember a Riding Lights sketch about the prodigal son, or the unforgiving, or the forgiving father, or the unforgiving son. And I remember the sketch being that the father opens his hands like this. The son comes running with his arms open too, and the father gives him a great big whack around the head. How dare you, you little wretch! That's what he deserved. But Psalm 103 verse 10, as we had read to us, it says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. That's how God treats us. He loves us. We wander. He still loves us. He waits and he runs to the Son and lavishes love upon him. Many of our world today suffer from low self-esteem. We've seen this week where Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, etc. are going to be banned for the under 16s because of the awful effect it's had on them. Feeling worthless, feeling useless, unloved, not as good as the person next to them. God gives us self-respect because we discover that we are loved by him. And he gives him honor. The father put a ring upon his finger and clothes on his back. In New Testament times, the ring was a sign of authority. To realize that we are loved by God is to be the source of the true value of self-respect. Many people, hippies usually, saying, I'm going to go and find myself, who I really am. Our true identity, who we truly are, is to be found in the fact that God loves us as a father to a child. And he gave him new life. He describes the son as being dead and now is alive again, was lost and now is found. What a wonderful definition of what it is to be a Christian. To be once dead and now alive, lost and now found. That's the testimony of so many here that are Christians today. It's what unites us, this declaration that Jesus is Lord and he has given us new life. The Son has a new start, a new beginning. This is the free gift of God, Father of the new life wandering to wandering children. We have new life, a new beginning, a new start. But I'm still not convinced that's the meaning of this parable. I think it's about the self-righteous brother. Let's go back to the start of the chapter. It says in chapter 15, verse 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering round to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And Jesus told them this parable. And that's the start of the story. And then verse 11 continues, there was a man who had two sons. The context is how the religious treat those who have now found salvation. The whole chapter seems to be pointed at the Pharisees about their attitude to sinners. And it's my firm conviction that the spirit of the Pharisee is still with us today. And it's often in our churches, in other words, us. We Christians often show more of the Pharisee than we do of Christ. Let's look at the older brother. Years of obedience were grim duty, not loving service. And I want to know how much we enjoy the work and service we give in the church. Do we continue because we always have, or because we are in love with the Heavenly Father, and anything we do for the church is because we love the Father and love one another? Do we complain a little too much? Do we grumble because we're not feeling very appreciated? Who are we serving, man or God? If it's God, then we serve willingly, because Luke 15 verse 31 says, "My son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours." This second son, this grumpy son, had everything that the father could give him, and he didn't rejoice in it. And then there was a total lack of sympathy. He doesn't say, "my brother," he says, "your son." I wonder if any of you have ever done that in the past. Turned around and said, "that's your daughter that's done that. That's your son that's done that," instead of saying, "my son and my daughter." Well, too often we sit in judgment and condemnation on this world of ours, forgetting that the sin of the world is our sin. We often want to distance ourselves from the bad of this world, what is wrong. What is wrong with this world, this society, even this church, not our community. With our world, we have sinned. Our praying, our caring should be the kind that Jesus showed by identifying himself with humanity and praying on its behalf. Owning the sin of this world and forgiveness of the intercessory praying that Jesus taught us. We don't look at society and say, "they're rubbish." We look at society and say, "God loves it. God loves them." And then he had a particularly nasty mind, this second brother. He exaggerated the sins of the younger brother. He says, spent his time with prostitutes. Doesn't say that in the rest of the story. But the older brother, exaggerated the sins. And another trait of the Pharisee was to exaggerate the sinfulness of the world. Now I know that the world is times a bad place and full of evil at times. But the kingdom of God is breaking through. The kingdom of God is making itself known. In times of desperation, the goodness of mankind can be found. In war, there is bravery. I'm not talking about soldiers' bravery. I'm talking about the type of bravery we see in medical services that go into war-strewn places just to save others' lives. And in times of desperation, the goodness of mankind can be found. Instead, it would be refreshing for the church at times to applaud the acts of goodness in the world. That the church does not be the Pharisee, instead be like Christ, applauding the values of God when they appear. So in conclusion, I want to say this. This is one of the greatest stories ever told, and it's still a challenge. To the wanderer, it says, "come home. The Father is watching. He's not angry, he's running towards us. He's loving and arms open wide to those who repent." To the broken, "you're not a servant, you are a son, you are a daughter. Let him put the robe on your shoulders, the ring on your fingers, the sandals on your feet, and the feast for you." And if you feel far away from the Lord right now, realize he is waiting to run to embrace you, to take you in his arms and say, you are loved and you are cared for. And to the faithful but frustrated, don't stand outside the celebration. Everything the Father has is already yours. Come into the joy of the Father and know his blessing. I ask this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.